I grew up in a small village, made world famous by a naturalist, and so maybe it's natural enough that I've always been fascinated by nature. We were allowed to play out with a freedom few children experience now. The village school specialised in nature walks and nature tables. We'd come back with flowers, leaves, twigs, stones and feathers to draw and name. I took all this for granted, sometimes even suspected it was a waste of time. But now I appreciate this as a precious apprenticeship in observational writing and games of search and find. As an adult, I've formed the habit of taking seasonal notes almost every day. If I need to warm up my imagination, my seasonal notes habit will do the trick. It feels like reaching out a hand to touch the outside world and gain the state of self-forgetfulness needed to write. When I first wrote poetry, another poet ticked me off for writing about nature. It wasn't the fashionable thing then. That would never happen now with our current understanding of what is being lost and how species are disappearing. The poet's remark cut because it attacked an attentiveness that was an integral part of my development. The observation of nature is a form of sanity, but as a young writer, you can't always articulate those experiences or even understand them. To forget yourself in a wood is such a release, and there's so much to discover. After my mother died, I walked into the fields behind our house and felt the surge of life around me in the brambles, wild cabbage flowers, and stormy clouds over the South Downs. Perhaps I was sensing the monstrous persistence of nature, and yet, as we know, nature isn't as monstrously persistent as we would like. Now I walk with a more elegiac eye, imagining the lapwings and greenfinches I used to see in the home fields. I go to woods which were once covered in primroses or bluebells, and pass the spot where a bunch of kingcups grew throughout my childhood, but don't grow now. The absences are keener because the originals live so vividly in my mind. For the last few years, I've walked a path by a river that charges up my imagination. Maybe it's the fast-running skeins of water, the swan that suddenly floats by, a man clutching a fish midstream, or the wild flowers, stitchwort, soapwort, bluebells, white cherry, cow parsley, and campions banked up beside me that activate a different level of my brain. I've transposed this place into a novel as a site of life and death. I've written poems on this walk, kept a cloud diary here, and listed year after year the plants and birds that I see. I should tire of the place, but I don't. When I can't sit at the desk anymore, this is where I go, and if I'm lucky, I'll see a kingfisher, a buzzard, or an owl. And when I return, the words usually flow, like the river, I suppose, a kind of osmosis that feels like a gift.